Thank you all for coming. It's really exciting to see so many faces here, and I hope you all learn great methods to live peaceful, happy lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. We switch shoes, so normally I'm the one who comes in and says hello to everybody. So since I'm leading it tonight, she said, well, I'll come in and say hello to everybody. So thank you so much. So this is the January version of the gym memberships. We have always a lot more people in January that come. So we'll see how many of you are here in 5 weeks. One of the first things I like to tell people when they come to a course here is about commitment. So it's easy to have rain happen and be cold or have dinner date show up or something happen or you're under the weather just a little bit. But I just want to put out there before you even, we even talk about anything else or you know who I am, to commit yourselves to coming to 5 weeks. Because in 5 weeks, it's just such a little powerhouse of information. And by the time, normally these classes, they kind of, we call it mouse-tailing down to, like half of you might go away and then another whole crop of people come in. But so I just want you to right now think about like, not a Billy Graham moment, but committing yourself to trying to come to all five of them. So normally I pick on a couple. It looks like a good one right here in the front row in the chairs. Are you a couple? Shouldn't assume. So if you said, we don't have to talk personally, but if I love you, dear, but I'm going to commit 95%, but I'm going to keep that other 5% just kind of, you know, like I'm not sure what's going to happen there. It might be a little uncomfortable, right? Just 95%. Yeah, I'm going to quit smoking, 95%. I'm going to quit drinking, but 5% I am going to party down, but 95% I'm not going to do it anymore. So we always joke about commitment and how 100% is actually a lot easier than 95%. And does anybody have a feeling why that is? I mean, like it's obvious, but who wants to say why that's easier? Aaron, I know you'll talk.
I think with that other 5%, you're always going to know that, hey, it's always going to be there. But if it's just 100%, that 5% isn't there, and you don't have to worry about it.
Beautiful. Did everybody hear? Yeah, what?
No decision.
There. See, it's just like it's right there for you. So if you commit tonight, then you just say next week, I'm coming no matter what. If your friends call you to say, can I meet you on Wednesday because I got something to do on Tuesday. So just asking that you commit for yourself. Okay, so let's see. I think I missed the first page. No, that's it. Since it is so large, what we usually do, and it's a lot of fun, but I don't think it's possible tonight, we go around and say, maybe we could, no, we couldn't do that. We say, what's your name? And then you have to start repeating names. So this would just be like really intense, right? So we'll just, I just want you to say your names because I try. This is going to be a little tricky to remember names, and it's tough. But just say your names and maybe in two words or just a little, not anything long, but like why you're here. Since there's a lot, we have to make it very brief. So we're not even going to, should we use the microphone, Chris, or just leave it? Should we record that? That might be too much to pass around. Okay, just go ahead and say your names. You can start right here in the burgundy shirt.
My name is Brian.
Brian.
And I did Buddhism in a nutshell, and I'm just here to learn to meditate better than the apps are helping.
Than the apps, better than the apps, okay.
Janice. Some peace.
Okay, what he said in some peace, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My name's Sarah.
Sarah.
I'm learning to meditate and calm myself down.
Calming, okay.
My name's Carol, and I'd like to learn how to meditate more effectively.
Okay.
And Samati.
Samati.
To learn more about meditation.
Okay.
Ramesh.
Peaceful work.
Peaceful work, did you say? Okay.
Cut out the noise.
Yeah, right there. Right there. And George, what's your name? Who's buried in the costume?
Thank you. I took the Buddhism in a nutshell class, and I'm back to work.
Good. Okay.
Paula, I want to learn more about meditation.
Okay.
Kellen, interested in increasing self-love.
Oh, okay. Kellen or Helen?
Kellen,
cool. Okay. Okay. Have you been here before? You look familiar. Yeah, I remember you. Okay.
My name is Alex.
Alex.
And I'm here because I have ADD and anxiety. So.
Well, you've come to the right place. Cincinnati is beautiful for that. I always joke. You're on the right flight to Cincinnati. Yeah.
Danny, you know,
by a friend.
Referred. Ah. Does the friend think you need it, or do you think you need it?
Both.
Non-religion, just meditation, maybe.
Maybe, okay. He's on the fence. Okay.
He may become. I'm very curious.
Okay.
I'm happy to be here.
Good, good, good.
I'm Brad. Let's hear a few years ago, I need to recenter it.
Recenter at the center?
Yes.
Okay.
Martine.
Thank you, strongly encouraged.
I agree.
Good, good, good.
And I'm Doug, and I'm here for peace of mind.
Good, good. Okay. And behind?
And now, and I'm here because I meditate better in a group.
Ah, there we have a different reason. Okay.
I'm Stephen. Just trying something new.
Trying something new. Okay, good. It's better than drinking. Okay.
I'm Holly, and I was doing that.
You could get to 100.
Five more.
Okay. All those nice, quiet people hiding in the back. What's your name? Okay.
I'm Sharon. I'm here because my primary care physician and my therapist recommended it.
Aha. Referrals. We'll have to write them thank you notes, right? Okay. All the way.
Hi. I'm Kimberly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like naps? Here to learn, okay. And the very shy people in the back?
I'm Shannon.
I'm
just here to learn.
Okay.
I'm Alex. I'm also here to learn from meditation.
Okay, everybody's ready to learn. How about start in front of the computer? Oh, wait. Oh, I forgot you. Jump in.
My name is Nick. I'm just here to learn how to be more fully present in the world.
Fully present in the world. Good. Not just in Raleigh, right? The whole world? Okay. In front of the computer over here.
I'm Michelle. I meditate 50% in...
Okay.
So, without apps.
Without apps. Okay. Have you been here before, too? Okay. I thought you looked familiar. Apps are great, though. Everybody's loving some apps these days.
I'm Michelle. I want to be more centered.
Okay. Good.
My name is Chris. I want to try to learn how to bring in source more effectively.
Okay. Okay. Good. Could you show what you're wearing this evening?
Oh, my shirt? My shirt?
Yeah, the bling.
Oh, the bling?
The shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Every thought matters. Every action counts. Available in the bookstore.
You just got to be able to tolerate people reading you.
Your chest all the time. Usually we did that at the coffee shop. We went, do you want to read my shirt?
It's hot in here.
It is still hot? Okay, that's because you just talked, though.
Brother Michael.
Oh, hey, Michael.
That darn 5%. I'm trying to help
him
with that.
Good. Good, sis. And who's this little tyke here?
This is Lily, my daughter.
Hi, Lily.
And I'm Angela, and I have been meaning to do this for a while.
Aha, uh-huh, January.
Finally scheduling and made a point to get here, so just to learn more, and Lily wanted to come with.
Good. And our office manager works at Tiger Rescue as well. You know Amanda? Good, good, good. And this is the lovely Linda. She's our program assistant. Okay, how about the back to the front hat?
I'm Pam. Pam? And new year, new motivation.
Good. Okay.
I'm Megan. Just another tool to deal with my anxiety.
Tools. Throw in some Dharma tools. Hey, sweetie.
Yeah, and I love coming here, and I just need more mental clarity and mindfulness.
Okay, can you say your name again for everybody? Van Kia. Isn't that interesting? Van Kia.
Hi, I'm Marie, and I want to learn how to calm my overthinking mind.
Overthinking. Anybody know about that? Okay. Yeah.
I'm Adam. I just want to learn how to meditate more effectively.
Okay.
I'm Jake, and I also would like to learn to control my thoughts so I don't overthink about stuff.
Controlling thoughts. That's a beautiful thing. Okay.
I'm Shepherd, and I just want to learn how to meditate.
Okay. Better? Okay.
I'm Lacey.
Lacey?
I cope with life.
Cope with life. Good. Mm-hmm. I'll take that one.
I want to learn how to meditate in general. I've never been successful.
Ah, good. So we've got a challenge now. Okay.
My name is Tina.
I used to be really good about meditating, and then I took up drinking.
Tried that other habit.
Yeah.
Did it work? So, did it work for you?
I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
So, getting back to that.
Okay.
My name is Pam, and I'm here to help with my mindfulness, being present, and finding some inner peace.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm Julia, and yes, just trying to learn to do it more effectively. I'm just using apps.
Yeah. Good. Aaron, what's your name?
Aaron, and I'm here to learn focus and discipline and some spirituality.
And his first day was yesterday or the day before?
I think it was yesterday.
Yeah. We recruited him. What?
Peter. There's a lot of reasons, but calming my monkey mind and anger management.
Ah, good. Okay.
My name is Miles, and I want to take my meditation to the next level.
Ooh, next level. We have no idea what level that is, but we'll see.
Exactly.
Okay, and then I recognize you. You've been here before, right, in the back? You just came in?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi.
Weren't you in one of my other meditation one-on-one classes?
No.
Okay. Everybody looks familiar to me. What's your name?
My name's Colette, and I would like to learn how to meditate better, control my thoughts, and be more
present. All right. And Chris, he's here because then you can hear me. There he is. Okay. Well, yeah, I think I have like some Pams and some Julias, and that's going to be a tough one to remember. Miles, the last one. I'll probably remember Miles because he was the last one. So I'm just going to go through some books for you so that you can see some of the options for this class. So how many of you have already purchased this? I know in the back you just got it. Doug, is it Doug? Grab that one. So this is How to Meditate. This is like the standard book that we use in this center. Kathleen McDonald is a nun, and she's been one. She's like, isn't she one of the first ones? She's like, goes way back, I think. And so this is like the, it's filled with all kinds of meditations. So you can also just look through it. It's in the bookstore and see if you like it. It's been used for years and years and years, and it's considered the text for this class. I think the meditations we use are out of here, aren't they? Yeah. Okay. So I just grabbed a couple of books. This one is, I used to never buy anything that called me a dummy. And I've never read it, but now I'm over that. Meditation for Dummies. So I thought there's one more left because they grab one of them on the sale table, the former version. There's a newer version. So this is $29.99. The other version's $10. So the first person out in the lobby afterwards can get that. And then Moody Cow. I thought that might be funny. We have some kids' books if anybody has children. So Moody Cow Meditates. I just wanted to show you our big hitters here. So everybody know who that is? Okay. The Dalai Lama and Lama Zopa Rinpoche. He's our spiritual director for about 167 centers in the world. So this is The Art of Happiness. And when Sandy teaches Nutshell, for those of you who took that, I hear that she plugs this like crazy. So I read it years ago. I barely remember it. I don't know if you've, yeah. So she just thinks this is fantastic, so I wanted to show you that one. And this was written like in 87, and I was just quoting it Saturday morning for a class. This is so lovely, How to Transform Problems, which is really what a lot of us are here for. We just want to stop feeling icky, you know, feel better. And then Karuna Caton, he comes to visit here, and so he wrote Misleading Mind. So this is really good for those of you who like don't need the party line, don't really need Buddhism in general, don't want the religiosity of anything. This is just about minds. This is just so simple. And when he teaches it, it's just how to do everything that every one of you said, you know, transform, feel better, have monkey mind, stop. So that's a really interesting book. And then this one is off our free rack, and there's a donation only envelope. And no matter how I say it, people still put it in our box. But this doesn't go to us. This goes to the archive, the Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archive. So that's Lama Yeshe. And he is on the left up there. So he's already passed in the 80s, and his reincarnation is already here. He's going to be a dad soon, Lama Osel. Osel. So this one my therapist handed me, Becoming Your Own Therapist. So that just no more work for her. So I figured it out. And so this is a great book, and it's just a great book, and it's really what Buddhism is all about for a lot of us, how to do these things yourself. And so the little blog thing I wrote last week was throwing a Dharma tool at it, so you got your tool belt, and the more tools you have, the more you can work with anger, with problems, with mind, monkey minds, and you can just, you've got all the tools you need, so load them up. Can I hand that to you so that I'll, thank you. All right. So make sure your cell phones are on meditate as well, because there's nothing more fun than hearing bling. When we were at retreat one time, we had this wonderful Australian, about 6 foot tall, and we talked very Australian. That's not really Australian, I can't do it. But he always kind of whispered, so you were just kind of scary. And a phone started going off, and he, so could the person please turn the phone off, you know, nice and quiet. And the phone kept going off, and finally he said, excuse me, that is my phone. So, Venerable Gasso, we call him Venerable Godna. Wherever I am, I think about that when I say turn your cell phones on, meditate. So, Linda told you where the bathrooms are. This is really, I want you to feel laid back in here. If you haven't noticed, I'm not too serious. So if you need to get up, go to the bathroom, or just get out of the room for a minute, make a cup of tea and come back. Or what a lot of people do if they feel comfortable, if I help them feel comfortable, is to get on and off the cushion. It's a little crowded, but and we don't sit on the nun's cushions. But if you're meditating and Miles' knee just went, yep. So he can, if he gets a little more cranky, not your mind but your legs, you can sit in the chair. Then when we get ready to do meditation, you can just plop back on the cushion and you can get back on the chair. So try to feel comfortable and relaxed. Make it your gompa and feel good and comfortable about it. Not Peg. Carol has told us she might get up and move around. So if she starts dancing, we'll know that her knees are hurting. That's okay. So behind me is an altar, and I'm looking at a blank wall and a bunch of people, and you are looking at a lot of bling, right? A lot of Buddhist bling. So sometimes that, I was raised Lutheran, and that's really, it can be uncomfortable. Like, that's just wrong. You know, back in the old days, that my mother would have just, you know, she's not here anymore, because that's why I can come here now. If she knew I was sitting here looking at all that, whoo! That would really be a scary thing. So this is not to worship. This is not, we do not, it's not like idolic imagery. We are just using it for our mind. So I just like to say that right off the bat, because you guys are staring at this the whole time. And sometimes it can be a little weird. In a Zen tradition, you're going to be looking at a wall. So you'll look at what I'm looking at. But while you're looking at that, just try to remember that these are all things that long-time practitioners use, not like I understand it, but for practice. They understand what all these things mean. There's a lot to it. There's a book on the altar in Burgundy that explains everything here, except for our new guy, Lama Tisha. Or is he in there yet?
I don't know.
So he's brand new. I think we got him in the summer of last year. So he might not be in there. And we'll learn a bit more about the tradition later. Right. So I was born in Louisville, Kentucky. That's why they say I have no accent. I have the newscaster's accent. It's a little southern still, I know. So I said I was raised Lutheran. I haven't practiced Lutheranism since I was 24. So I took like a long break to just be kind and just get a grip. And then I found Buddhism and I was like, no, I don't want to practice a religion. And there was no stopping me. It was just amazing. I think we all felt like that when we started, because it made so much sense. Because I just wanted everything that you guys said in my mind to be quiet and to figure out how to get some tools. So I have a yoga teacher of, 1986. I don't even know how many years that is anymore. I used to say the years, but Chris, how many years is it since 1986?
32.
Wow! That's a long time. So now I just teach one class on Monday nights out there for everybody. Anybody can come. It's donation only. 5:30 on Mondays. So it's before our DB class. So you're welcome to come to that. So I think that's how I got into the Eastern thought, because I was like terrified. It was just wrong, you know. And then I started going, but it makes so much sense. It's wrong. But it makes so much sense. So then now here I am, and now I'm the manager of the center. Poor mom. that's funny. Before I did this, I did a business where I helped lead meditation, which is really just letting people talk, and organizing, and yoga. So it was all three things. And then that's kind of how it all worked into coming here. So I met the teachings in 2008 with His Holiness. I started off, the very first thing I ever did, besides carrying around a little picture of him, I just thought he was cool. I went to 6 days of teachings, which is really funny. 6 days of teachings, like 4 hours a day. on the entire Lam Rim, which later you'll hear what that is. So I just jumped right into the deep end, and I didn't know what Mahayana was, what a Bodhisattva was, what anything was, and I was just like, what is he talking about? But I loved it. And so that's how I started. I came back and I just read A Simple Path. And then I found this place. So that's my story. Sticking to it. So we're going to do a meditation now. We're just going to quickly go over this. I don't like to use a lot of PowerPoints, so you probably can't see a thing. But this is just body parts, and I'm going to explain it to you. So if you're sitting on a chair, if you're sitting on a cushion, let's just go over that really quick. And then when you're not meditating, you can relax the position. It's only a meditating position, so it's not meant like you have to sit like that all the time. But we'll go over it now. So legs. The legs are the base, and you're creating a mountain, so you want to be nice and stable. For a lot of, since I'm a yoga teacher, I throw a little bit extra in there, and Linda is one too, so she understands that if your hips are not higher than your knees, it could cause your knees to get a little numb, and you might not feel it right now, so if you're on the floor. So if your knees go numb, you don't want that to happen, and the teachers told us that it wouldn't really matter, you're not going to hurt yourself, but if you plan on continuing this past 5 weeks, you don't want to have a habit of that. So we're trying to create habits that can last longer than 5 weeks. So make sure that your knees are lower than your hips. And you can do, you can put like a little sweater under your bum if you like. You can get a little extra boost. You can take one of the square ones that are kicking around and put the corner under there. Try all different ways. You can use cushions for your feet, like a fancy, fancy, fancy restaurant. Would you like one, Lily? Want a big cushion or are you good? The gentleman behind you is offering you a cushion.
Oh, thank you.
And then if we have one more, yeah. Because if your feet are stable, you don't feel like you're, you know, hanging there. And then, if for the people in the chair, this is a little tricky, but, I remember meeting you now. Bring your back a little forward. So don't lean against the back because you want your channels to be open, right? So. Good to move around. So the legs are stable. Now, Vajra position is full Vajra. That's like not many people can do that. You take one leg and put it all on your thigh, and then you put the other one on your thigh, and then you sit there for like a second, and you go, okay, good. So nobody I know meditates in that except like Steep, I think. She sits like that. So the other position is to have one ankle on the ground, sorry, chair people, and the other one stacking on top. So instead of crisscross applesauce, which can cut the circulation off, you want to kind of break that habit tonight, stack them and see if that works. Does that work, Aaron?
Yeah.
And it can be quite comfortable if they stack nicely. If they don't, so they just fit like this. If this knee is kind of hanging, so Julia, like your legs are really low, but if you wanted to take your sweatshirt and put it under the knee that's a little higher, it settles the knee down. Feel that? So you don't want to have any feeling of it kind of hanging. You can, at home, you can take sweatshirts and blankets and put them underneath your knees or your thighs. You can get moon-shaped cushions. That helps, too, kind of support your thighs, and it'll be comfortable. Then we've got, so the bottom is sinking down. Now we've got the spine. So you don't want to force it to be straight because it can be uncomfortable, but you do want to stack it like coins or like Geshe-la says, uncooked spaghetti. So that would be cooked spaghetti, right? And this is uncooked. And you'll notice as you start to meditate, it'll just go like this and then you lift it up. So you just gently move with lifting up the body. So you can kind of lift it up from the sternum and then lift up through the back of the top of your head. So not like the top of your head, then you would lift your chin up. A marionette string for the back of the top of your head. And you'll sense that it slightly lowers your chin, just a touch, not much, so it kind of lifts up. And that, the reason for that is to create this, the channels are open, and that is a good energy flow. You want to crimp your straw. So think about the channels like a straw. And if you crimp it, the flow doesn't happen very easily. So then you open it back up. Okay, shoulders down, nice and relaxed. You can think of little weights in the backs of your shoulder blades, sort of pulling your shoulders down. And then whatever works for you is fine. So we'll just try three different ways. Hands on the knees, quite comfortable. If you tend to round your shoulders, opening the palms kind of rolls your shoulders back. If you want to, this is not a Buddhist tradition, you can join fingers. You can do it like this. In our tradition, what we do is put the left hand down. This is, I'm holding it up here. The right hand on top. And you touch the thumbs like you're holding a piece of paper. And then you place that 4 finger widths beneath the navel. Now, some people say just rest it on your lap. So you'll hear that. Just rest it. These are the hands. And you just place it on your lap. And some people say, so like that for the people in the back. And this creates a little egg shape. And Gushel says you cannot use the remote when you do that. Tibetan joke. Geshe humor is priceless. Sweet. So the reason for this is like wisdom and compassion coming together, creating 2 wings. And it's just this, and it's got all these things have a lot more to do with the deep practice, but you're creating this comfortable just settling of the hands, okay? So some people tell you to place it 4 finger widths beneath the navel, even if that's off your lap. So when Venerable Amy was here last time, she said, nope, up, 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 and place your hands up. It's a little, sometimes it feels a little, like it's kind of hanging there. Depends on the length of your arms and your lap. There's physics involved here. But if you just want to let it rest on your lap, that's comfortable. So you put them together like that. And the fingers touching. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay. The mouth is closed, but the tongue is on the roof of the mouth and behind the front row of teeth. And that's so you don't drool. I think it's funny. So if we were meditating for hours, we could actually, apparently that's something that could happen. So it helps, they say, to close off that. I don't know what that's closing off, actually. Do you know? But it's supposed to be the comfortable place for your tongue to be. And then the eyes. So here's something tricky. Like, since I've been teaching yoga for so long, I never open my eyes to meditate. So in this tradition, they're slightly open. Do you see the Buddha behind me? It was just a little weird for me to do that after years of not doing it. So what I suggest for newbies is you've got the opportunity to create a new habit. So try opening your eyes very, very slightly. They almost roll their eyeballs back in their head and just slightly, because you're going to look down over your lap, like say you were looking about right here on the ground. And if you try it like that, I think if you have a tendency to go to sleep, and this is a tough time at night to not fall asleep during meditation, then that light definitely will help you. But if it's too distracting, just close your eyes. So play with it. All right, so that's the 7-point posture. For those of you on the chair, you are leaning away from the back, feet flat on the floor. You don't cross them or anything, and it's just everything else is the same. Good? Okay. Knee bothering you?
Always does.
Always does. Okay. And look, he's still sitting on the ground. Okay, so one important thing that I got from when I sat in on Dave Mackles, because Linda's sitting on mine because she's going to start teaching, he said something that I love. You can't do this wrong. I mean, that's great, isn't it? How many times do you hear that you can't do this wrong? Just try. Whatever works is great. Doesn't matter. One thing that I find that if I say it right away, it seems to really, really, really help people, is how many of you think that meditation is about not thinking anything?
Up to a certain point, right? Like once you like do it for like 50 or 60 years, you can obtain that.
Well, we talked too, so he's... But it's... The point is, a lot of people usually raise their hand at that, so I'm surprised. Most people think they're trying to just like squeeze their brain and stop thinking, and then they think they can't do it, so they don't ever try again, or they luckily ended up coming to a class. But they're trying to do something that's not really possible. The mind is a cognizer. It's going to have thoughts. So what we're trying to do, and a lot of you had said that, is to control the thoughts. So right off the bat, just let yourself know that you are trying to gain control over those thoughts, not to push them away so that they will be gone, because it's not really possible. It's just too difficult. They're going to keep coming up and coming up. So what you're going to learn are just tricks so that you're like, thank you. Thank you. No, you know, it's like a 5-year-old going, mom, 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 mom. And you're like, yes, can I help you? You just want to answer the child. Our brains are just like, our minds are just like children. And they just keep going and going and going. And then finally, when we decide we're just not going to listen, it will quiet down. But give yourself permission that you're not trying to have not have a thought, and then you're doing something wrong if you do. So when mashed potatoes and gravy come up, just go, put it aside. So So now the thing that happens is, let's say mashed potatoes, or first hunger comes up. Who's hungry? Who hadn't had dinner yet? Oh, not many of you. Okay. And you are?
Peter.
So Peter's meditating on breath, and he's like, dang, I'm hungry. Stomach growls. If that arises and then it goes away, great. If it arises and you acknowledge it, great. If it arises and you go, and he's like, oh, I don't have any potatoes. I got to go store them. I'm going to go to Food Lion. Wait, I don't have any gas. I forgot to get gas. Let's see, where's the cheapest? You see, Peter is gone, right? He's like, whoop. And then he goes, ugh. Like, you can actually forget you're here, you know, like you're so gone. And so then you bring it back. Still fantastic. As Aaron said to me the other day, to know that you're bringing your mind back is so valuable. That's what you're trying to learn. You do not ever beat yourself up and go, hmm. No, like that. Peter just goes, okay, that was a little far. So what you're trying to do is catch it at hunger and go, fine, hunger rises. Just bring it back. See, and then it's real soft and gentle. There's no story. So the stories are what we're trying to get to stop, because the stories are where we suffer. They're not true. I mean, none of it's true anyway, but we're creating it all, making it all up. So if we can just eliminate a lot of those stories, and then when you learn to do on the cushion, take that to your job, and you can take that to your relationship, and you can take that to Doug, right? Yep, the stories can stop. There goes the fight. It's just a story. When you learn how to do that, tell me so I can do that myself. Okay. So we're going to do a meditation. That's what we're here for, so let's do it. It's called scanning the body. So assume the position. And I will use this to bring you out. Okay, so we begin scanning the body. Focus your attention on your breathing. Just tap into that breath. Breathe nice and natural. Try to become present in the moment and the place, just right where you are. Place all your attention on the rising and the falling of your shoulders and your chest as you inhale and exhale gently. Simply allow your mind to settle and become calm, present, and ready to engage in meditation. This is the way we begin meditations, bringing the mind home. Next, we create a motivation for the meditation, an altruistic motivation. You might think that you are meditating not just for your own individual benefit, but you're taking the time now to meditate and develop your mind to become wiser, kinder, and able to be of benefit to all beings. So let's focus the attention on the physical body. You have already found the most suitable sitting position. Spine is nice and straight. The position allows you to feel more aware and awake, but not stiff or rigid. Focus your attention on the lowermost point of your body, where your body is in contact with the earth. Feel the substance and earthy character of your body. Concentrate for a moment on that contact, on the weight and the substance of this physical form. You might focus on the fact that gravity is holding you in this position. And because of that, you can sink and relax into it. And from this sinking, then you can gently lift again in your spine. So you have this two poles of energy lifting you and holding you down. Pay attention to the character of your mind, your consciousness. Placing all your focus slowly and mindfully, move your attention upward through your body. Pay close attention to every aspect of your body, your physical sensations. Where there is tension, just relax. Where is there coolness? Where is there warmth? Where is one part of your body touching another part? Simply focus on these places. Move upward through your legs, your hips, your hands and your lap. Notice the actual curves of your body's individual silhouette. Continuing to move upward to your belly. Feeling the breath moving in and out of the belly. Your waist. The curves of your arms. Continue to move upward. The rising and falling of your chest with your breath. The curves of your shoulders. Moving upward very slowly and mindfully. Are your shoulders or your neck or your jaw tense? Once we pay attention, then we can relax. Notice and relax. Now we move to the tilt of your head. All the way up to the crown of your head. And rest at this place for a moment. While focusing here, what is the character of your mind? Is it different while you're concentrating here than when you were focusing on the lowermost point of your body? And if so, how is it different? Now on your own, slowly move your attention back down through your body in the same way. Noting everything about your own body as you move your attention back downward. Bring your attention all the way back down to the cushion or the floor where your body is in contact with the earth. And now focus your attention here at this point and the character of your consciousness. Is the nature of your mind state any different here than when concentrating on your crown? And as we end this meditation, we always dedicate to bookend from our motivation. So all the positive energy, any insights to the well-being, we dedicate it to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. So, anybody enlightened from that? How was that? It's really simple, just following the body. Did it feel different at the crown?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what felt different? Did you say it? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Somebody.
Lighter,
okay.
More grounded there, lighter there.
Yeah. Peter's knees? Knees, ankles? More relaxed. I'll repeat for you. The reason we're doing that is because this is going to, 6 million people all across the world, or the 2 or 3 that are listening. So we have people that stream, and then we record these. So Chris kindly puts them up on our website, so they are there for you. Not that you would miss a class, but if you did, they are there for you. So lighter, and I'm going to repeat so it's in the recording, lighter and more grounded on the ground, and more relaxed. That was the word she said. So who found it a little more relaxed up here? That's interesting. And what else? What did the base feel like? You can just throw words out.
It felt solid.
Solid, okay. Yeah, okay. Oh, Carol's trying the ground. Look at you. Did it feel solid down here? You're nodding, yeah? Kind of like that mountain, we mentioned that, so that stable position. On those on chairs, did that feel similar, or is it different? It might be different because it's not as heavy. On the ground?
On the ground.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm sure that means something of what I don't know. But it's the main point is that you're noticing your body and that your attention, it's not like we're going for secret meanings, right? We're going for that you're focused. So the fact that you noticed it means you were not thinking of mashed potatoes. Did you think of mashed potatoes? Good. Very good, Peter. Yeah.
Still struggling to push away.
Thoughts?
The racing mind.
Okay.
As you were talking, it's difficult to focus on whether to focus within yourself or to listen to them.
I've heard people say that before.
And then the other thoughts that come into you, whether you want to push them. So the brain becomes like heavy.
Hmm.
Because I'm listening to you, mm-hmm. I have these thoughts, I'm pushing away the thoughts, I'm trying to relax my body.
What do you want from me?
I guess that's how it starts.
Right? Yep. That was perfect. You know?
Can't do it wrong.
Oh, is everybody still hot? Okay. 77? Toasty. Let's see. Does it actually, if I turn the heat down, let's see. Let's just go to... You got it, Linda? I turn the AC down to, below the temperature that it shows. Yeah, put it on, 74. And then it'll get too cold, and we'll complain about that.
How do you know when you're, starting to fall asleep? Because there was, a few seconds there where, I thought I was asleep, but I couldn't tell whether I was asleep or if I was, in fact, doing the meditation.
It's tricky. I've heard that when people... yeah, I felt that oh, man, this is, you just think, this is great, dude. And then you're I'm just falling asleep. But it's not easy to know, is it? So, and I'll get back to your thing in a second. Yeah, I think that I think the more you meditate, the more you just become aware that you're just getting sleepy. So if it's kind of like just sort of rambling and feels like that floating, yeah, kind of like amorphous, and I'm not saying that this is just an idea, but sometimes if it's too floaty, then it is just drifting asleep, because what you're trying to do is laser-like concentrate. Remember we were talking about that? So if you're not focused, then you are just getting kind of comfortably numb, you know. Is that, yeah, Carol?
I have a question. When I first learned to meditate, I was taught to just, my thoughts, to think of them as clouds drifting by.
That's like number three. No, that's good.
But is that accurate, or?
There's just so many ways. That is definitely a standard party line meditation, and it's beautiful because the clouds are not the sky, right? That's what's so beautiful. The sky is your mind, and the clouds are your thoughts. I mean, like, it's so helpful. Sometimes that can be moving to a lot of people. The sky, see, Julia's having a moment right there. Yeah, I never thought of it like that. So the sky exists as an open space and palette for anything to happen in, right? That's our mind. The clouds are like mashed potatoes and gravy and gasoline and, you know, my child and college applications and then stress and anxiety come from all these thoughts. And then thinking I'm having too many thoughts, and then the thoughts of having too many thoughts, and then the anxiety of having, you know, it's just like a circus going on. That's the club I'm in, the feedback loop. I know what you mean. Here's what I should be doing. And so you just learn to concentrate, and it will get better. And so it's just kind of find it funny, like, wow, that's amazing that I can do all that at one time. Like, you're doing a lot of things at one time. You're like multitasking while we're meditating, aren't we, you know? So have you ever, so you're going to learn like to count. So you're counting 1, 2, 4. And then you forget where you are, and then you think, what number am I on, or was I on 6? And you think, how did I not even be able to get past 2? You know that? And then you're mad at yourself because you can't get past 2, and then you're like, wow! So try to find it just funny, or go up to 10 and then go backwards, trick yourself. The thing I think is really amusing is when you got, I got this, you know, like 1, you're up to 10, and you're going backwards, 9, 8, 7, 5, and then you're doing that while you're thinking of mashed potatoes, and you think, I got this. And you go, that's not the point. So the mind is going to try its best to, now it's getting chilly, isn't it? The mind is going to just try its best to get you at every single way it can. And who wants to ask, why is it doing that? Why is it doing that? Yeah, why is it doing that? So who wants to answer it? Miles. Why is the mind trying to just do us in?
It wants to do the best for us. But it wants to do the best for us in many different ways.
Many different ways. Yeah. And what does the mind do?
Creates?
The mind is just, the brain is just an organ. The mind is
like
a spiritual image.
Well, the mind is...
Mind is different than the brain.
Right. The party line definition is that which is clear and knowing, and that's something we learned way, way back. So mind, that which is clear and knowing, and it thinks. So its job, it's just, you've told me to think, and that's what I'm going to do. And so now we're saying we're really going to go upstream. So if you chose to believe in reincarnation, you're going against a lot of lives of thinking. Okay, is it getting too cool now? So it's doing, as Miles said, it's doing what it thinks you want it to do. Think, 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 think. It's just like, you know, if we were Winnie the Pooh, we could get this.
Probably also habit. Most of us spend our entire lives thinking a lot, and your brain is just very used to that, and to suddenly try to not think so much is breaking a lot of habits.
Yes. What's a habit that you have done for, what's your name in the blue? Megan, what's like just a simple habit that you've done your whole life?
A worry word.
And so if I said, Megan, stop worrying now. Like, is it going to happen?
No.
Yeah, you're going to worry about what I said. You're going to be like, I'm going to worry more now. And so, Linda, what's the habit that you've had forever?
Oh, eating chocolate.
Eating chocolate. I had two pieces before I came to class. And if I said never have chocolate again, Linda.
Oh, no.
It wouldn't seem right. Yeah.
I had a question. You were talking about being laser-focused, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I find to be in a very relaxed state, and generally not in a very relaxed state, to be very generally relaxed, able to be focused and when I drift to come back, but laser-focused...
Is that word too harsh? Does it feel a little harsh? Let's just say focused, then.
Relaxation more than...
Okay, so here's the next trick. If you were, like when I used to watch my daughter, she's 17 now, so when she was maybe, you know, like 7, 8, 9, or a little child, she would just look out the window and just be like, I never knew what she was saying, but, you know, you could see all these little, like, ideas. So what was she doing?
Daydreaming.
How is daydreaming different than meditation? Daydreaming feels darn tootin' good, doesn't it? It's like a nice warm bath. Just allowing yourself the time to daydream is so pleasant. Unless the thoughts, of course, get difficult. You know, that's not daydreaming. That's just like nightmare living. But daydreaming is just anxiety. But daydreaming is so pleasant, but it's not meditating. So do you understand the difference? Because it can really be tricky for a lot of people. I could be leading meditation in some other courses I've done that aren't really Buddhist, and I will say, here's what we're going to do on this meditation, knowing that they, like, we're going to do this one thing. This is it. And I'll set it up. This is the topic. This is what we're doing. This is the meditation. And I know from years of doing this, they're going to come back and go, I saw yellow, and then it moved into orange, and I was so happy. And I just want to kindly go, good. But that's not what this was, you know. That's because... You haven't taught your mind anything. You've just let it be relaxed. There's nothing wrong with having just this nice daydreaming, but that's a different thing. So go daydream with your tea, sit in the window, look out the window, and daydream all you want. But when you decide to meditate, so laser's a little harsh, so let's just say focus. You're trying to get your mind to focus. And if you don't do that and you let it go wherever it wants to go because it feels so good, you're starting another habit of letting your mind wander. Let's say you lay on the ground to meditate, like in Shavasana and yoga. Who's done that? Shavasana and yoga, or Savasana, depending on the dialect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? So when you lay down, do you tend to, you know, take a little, it's like, I'm out, man. And why do you fall asleep when you're on the ground? When you're laying down, where else do you lay down?
Bed.
And on the sofa, and you usually fall asleep. And it's just habit. So, if you learn to meditate and you allow yourself to daydream, you've then created another habit you have to break, besides chocolate and all that drinking. So, it's just creating habits. So, we're going to really try to get that mind to focus because that's how you become happy. It's kind of weird. But if you can get your mind to focus and you can say, go where I want it to go, sounds like a control freak, but that's really what we want to do. We want to control our mind so that we tell it what to do. Because right now, who's boss?
The mind.
The mind. Like, we all have nose rings. We think we're so cool, we all have these nose rings. And it is just pulling you back and forth and back and forth and back and forth all day long. Every emotion, everything you think, and then you react. And then we have no control whatsoever in our lives. I'm getting a lot of nodding heads like, yep, that's why you're here. So you have to try to do something different. And then you take that off the cushion to your life. So when your mind is going in three different directions, it's real important not to feel bad about it because that's not going to help you. You're just going to feel like you're being beat up a little. We said try to find it kind of funny that you're able to do all that at one time. You know, you could get paid for that. You would be successful, right? So you just have to trust that with each different, you're going to find the tool too. So ADD people tend to really love something to focus on. So if we do like this guided meditation and we're just just taking you through this and this and this, it helps so much because then the mind will really follow it like a child, like a story, like, oh, whew, I like this. And it helps, or counting helps. Some people go, I count everything anyway. It's this weird habit I have. So counting makes them feel more anxious. Anybody resemble that remark? So we have all kinds. So you're going to find the thing you're here to find, this is what works for me. And then you'll try it for a while, and then you'll get better, and then you might move on to something else. So we're going to be throwing all these different meditations out at you, the sky, the clouds, the fish, the water, so that you find something that helps your mind. And so that's why I'm looking at you after each one, because I'll see smiles and like, didn't like that one. Yeah, it'll be all kinds of things. So let's try another one. Speaking of what we just spoke of. Assume the position. Keshla told us too sometimes to, like if you feel, now you might be getting a little more relaxed because you've been here for a little while, but if you're feeling stressed, to just take a nice big, even three breaths in, and he goes, like to the side, big man. And so there's something about that that will trigger relaxation too, especially if you just have a lot of stuff you just want to dump. So you can do that in here. You can take a nice big breath in, and it's saying, now I'm getting ready to meditate. So I'm just like dumping all this energy out. So feel free to do that. Okay. Focus your attention on your breathing. Again, breathe naturally. Feeling that rising and the falling of the shoulders and the chest. Bringing the mind home. And as we've been talking and laughing, we're going to move that part away and let the mind settle. Become relaxed and calm and present. And again, we'll set our motivation as an altruistic motivation, that we're going to do this meditation not just for our own benefit, but for all beings, because when we become more wise and more kind, we are able to be of more benefit to all beings. So with that motivation, we start by focusing our attention at the opening of the nostrils. Pay attention to the very subtle sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. You might feel the little hairs move, the cooler sensations as you inhale, warmer as you exhale. So try not to follow the air into your body or out into the surrounding environment. Simply place your attention right on the sensations at the nostrils. Your job is to keep your attention firmly placed on those sensations only. Thoughts will rise. Don't worry about them. Let them move away. And now we'll begin to count. As you inhale and exhale, count them together as one. You can count on the inhale and then the next inhale. Just count from 1 to 10 and then back again at 1. Nice and slow, breathing from the belly. If you lose your concentration completely, just go back to 1. If you never get past 2, perfectly fine. If this becomes comfortable, you can count backwards at 10 to 1, then 1 to 10. That is whole job of the mind right now. And as we begin to end this meditation, we again dedicate all this positive energy, any insights, to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. How is that, Lily? You like counting?
Yeah.
Yeah, she likes that one. Why did you like that?
It was really relaxing.
Oh, good. You can use that too in school, you know? You can use it at work. You could, I mean, how long did that take? I don't even, just like 4 minutes maybe.
Really? You,
yeah. It was very, doesn't it feel longer? Or did it feel longer? Yeah, very brief. It's so weird leading it versus doing it, because I remember sitting there and it feels like it was woo, and then watching it, it goes so fast. Do you like that, George? So who felt counting was like a little neurotic for them? Ah, how come?
I don't know. There was just like, I liked the other one where you're connecting with the body more.
Good.
I guess it was more tangible.
And it just...
the numbers were more visual for me.
Okay. Who did the Sesame Street and like, one, two? Did anybody get a surprise number? Number seven!
I felt that I was better able to catch myself when my mind was starting to drift.
Ah, so it helped you.
So, like, sensation on the nostrils, that, like, I never knew that before, and that, like, really helped.
Cool. Yeah. So that was, like, a physical thing. And it's, did anybody else say that counting was uncomfortable? Yeah. So why is that?
I found myself concentrating on counting completely, not focusing on the breathing. One, rhythmically, two, rhythmically, three. So I was just counting and completely lost sight of, you know, the breathing and what I was supposed to be.
So you forgot your multitasking.
Yeah, I was just counting.
Did the multitasking help you? You get past two? That's perfectly good. Yeah, the mind drifts. I think it's great when somebody accepts or acknowledges that, because it's really good to go, yeah, not happening. You know, got to three. is anybody shocked by the fact that you can't keep your mind clear until like three or two? Does that, or one? Isn't that kind of crazy? Miles, do you think that's funny? Like, he's wearing a shirt that says breathe love, so it might be more easy for him.
Yeah. No, I count as I breathe out and count backwards as I breathe down.
And you can keep on it?
All day long.
Good. Aw. Would you wear this headset, please?
No.
No. Yeah, it's, I always just think it's funny why it's so difficult to focus. But just keep reminding yourself it's just habit, okay? So it's, don't feel bad about it. It's just like, that feels good, doesn't it? To go, oh, yeah. It's just because I haven't focused that much. Well, I taught yoga one time to this real estate agent who probably had never been quiet a moment in her life. And she came to the house with a friend, and I taught him yoga. She'd never done anything like this before. And she, when we did Shavasana, and I would just do a guided meditation, and I usually say, and now wiggle a toe or a finger to bring, you know, have me times if you're heard, bring yourself back, roll onto your side, push yourself. We've probably said that a million times. She never came to, and I was like, it was a little disconcerting. And you don't really want to touch someone, we've learned, because you don't quite know how deep they are. So it's not like you go up and you go, hey, come back. And so I gently used her name, and I was trying not to laugh because I could see she was breathing. But it was like, oh, my God, she's just gone. And I had to finally go, sweetie, you know, get a little toe. And she was like, what? I had never seen her quiet in the whole time I've known her, ever. And so I think she just, like, completely shut down, like, all systems off. It was just like the warp drive just went. And so it was pretty cool to watch someone. She never came back, though. I think it terrified her. I mean, if you've never felt that before, it can be shocking. So, you know, it's interesting. Okay, so counting. You've had counting and you've had scanning, and now you have some different ways. But just know that every day is going to be different. So some days you're like, ah, and other days you're like, oh, I love that. So the mind's going to also come and go with your moods. All right, let's do a little verbal teaching here, just talking about some of the words and what things mean. This is a gompa, G-O-M-P-A, gompa. And the word gom, G-O-M, means to make your mind familiar with. So P-A means place. This is a place where you make your mind familiar with your mind or the object that you've chosen. So that's what this is about. It's called a gompa. You will hear that word used a lot because we never quite know what to say. Like, we're... Sanctuary is the word that Christian churches use. We don't use temple, but sometimes we do, but it always feels a little weird. So we just say we're at the center in the gompa. And, you know, when you refer to it, when you say where you've been, you'll find that you're trying to find a word where you were. So this is called the gompa. So it's kind of like this great secret. We're making our mind familiar with our mind. And that's all that means. There's really nothing other that we're doing. I think sometimes we make it too big. You're just trying to get familiar with your mind. That's all you're doing. So, familiarity, easy for you to say, is familiarity means habitual patterns of thought and behavior. So we've been talking about that. So what we're trying to do is become more familiar with the positive and not the negative. So we don't want to become better at our negative habits. I mean, we can become really good at eating chocolate. That's not hard to do. But it's not really going to get us anywhere. So we're trying to think about what brings us happiness and satisfaction in life, and that's why a lot of you have come here. So the reason, it seems too simple to say that concentration can actually help you with that, but we've talked about it a little bit. Does it make more sense now? That if you can learn to control these thoughts, you actually have more control of your happiness. You are the keeper of that. So who knows the Brady Bunch? Yeah, you remember that? They all. So if you look around the room, I always think of the Brady Bunch. That's why we're all here. And I call it PMS, so I think it's funny to say the word in front of men. They always laugh. PMS, positive mental states. Yeah. So I just made that up. But positive mental states, that's all we're trying to become familiar with. We're really, really, really good at becoming familiar with the negative states, right? Who knows how to do that really well? Yeah, okay. She didn't raise her hand, but she's going, yeah. So in some of the texts they said here is we're very familiar with animals or like animal, vegetable, mineral. Like, we know how these things work. But when it comes to our mind, we're kind of clueless. So that's what we're trying to learn about. How does it work? How do the perceptions work? And if you wanted to really study Buddhism deeply, I tell you, the Friday night classes that are coming, that's for advanced students. But you're just like into the minutia of what is a thought. And what is the first thought? What is the between the thoughts? You're breaking it all down. You're learning these very deep teachings. Or you can keep it simple. Be kind and practice working on your mind. So once you start looking at your mind, more stuff's going to come up. I hate to break it to you. But stuff's going to start. It could. It's not going to. But, you know, more stuff can start coming up. And so about class three, sometimes people come in and they're a little more agitated. And I like this. It seems a little odd to say that ahead of time, like I'm not telling you you're going to get more agitated. But if you do, it's just good to know that now when you start to look at your mind, you're like, oh, my God. And then you see what a zoo it is, and it becomes more apparent. So don't be scared by that. Just realize that you might not have stopped and looked at it that much before. So don't become overly concerned if things feel sometimes a little worse before they get better. Lots and lots of phases to go through. Venerable Rabina, who's coming now, I think in a couple of years, she's a feisty nun, very feisty nun. Have any of you ever heard or seen her besides Chris and Linda? Oh, none of you have. Oh, you have. Yeah. She's feisty, right?
Yeah.
Yes, she is the definition. If you had a poster that said feisty nun, she would be it. She says it like it is. It's just a hoot nanny to be at her teachings. And so she calls our mind, or she says all these thoughts are like roommates. You have how many roommates? A lot of roommates? You're laughing. Too many. And they're not paying rent. So these, it's just like your mind is just full of all these people just talking and things happening. So we're trying to have the roommates watch TV in their own room. Go to your room. So we, as human beings, we have this huge untapped potential. Like it's just, it's beyond our comprehension what we are capable of. There's a book called Destructive Emotions. I was going to say Undestructive Emotions. That's not even a word. Destructive Emotions by Daniel Goleman. Goleman, I think. So they use a monk in this book that we know. He's been here, but they use a secret name. And they test him and do all kinds of, wire him up and stick him in here and put him in, what is it called when you go in the?
MRIs.
Yeah, MRIs. And he's like, oh, it's just like a vacation. He just loves it, you know. Just wire him up and you can't, his mind is amazing. It's beyond anything we can comprehend. He can get so calm and relaxed. And this is available to everyone. I think that sometimes we just think that the robes are magic, you know. And Geshe-la just said Sunday, if this really did what you guys think it does, I'm paraphrasing here, then I'll just buy every one of you a set. He's like, it's not that expensive. I'll get all of you a set. It's not, the robes are not doing anything for them. It's what their mind is doing for them. So we have all the same exact potential to do these things, to get somewhere with our mind. It's just a matter of tenacity and effort. So the real purpose of meditation is to transform the mind by decreasing the negative harmful aspects and increasing the positive beneficial aspects. So if we could buy it in a package, I think we'd get that app. So metacognition, who knows what the word meta is?
About something, like the metacognition is thinking about thinking?
Right. Metacognition, thinking about thinking. Did you look at my book? Very good. Seeing your own thoughts. He's been doing his homework. So the higher order in thinking that enables understanding, analysis, and control of one's cognitive process. So it gets pretty fun when you start to go, oh, who just had that thought? I'm watching my thoughts. Well, who's watching the thought? And it gets kind of funny. Like those kind of things start to happen when you start to realize that you're asking your mind to watch your mind. Is that a little weird? Yeah? So the metacognition is the thinking of the thinking. You're thinking about the thinking of the thinking. That's probably like another word with meta, right? Meta on steroids. So you're asking your mind to think about thinking, to think about the mind. So it's a gatekeeper who's going to watch. And so if I'm getting sleepy, it's going to say, hoo-hoo. If I'm, calm down. So you're there's another party in there. And that's quite interesting. So we'll start touching some of those things. So now, back in the day when I wrote this, neuroplasticity wasn't quite as popular. It's so popular now that I think we all know. Peter, do you know what that means, neuroplasticity?
Your mind is moldable and changeable.
Yeah. Everybody knows now. Once it gets to the magazine covers, you know, it's like we all know about it. So your mind is, I used to say Eckert's, but that dates me, so what is it now, Rite Aid? Once it comes to Rite Aid, like, yoga! Everybody's doing meditation, you know, all the stars are doing it, so now it's okay to do it. So neuroplasticity is pretty common now, but it's really quite shocking that the brain, the plasticity of the brain is changeable. So now that we all know this, it's just like silly putty. So when you, yeah.
Is it true that, like, if you do this for longer, like really long periods of time, parts like the hippocampus will like strengthen and the amygdala will actually shrink?
I don't know the literal facts of those parts, but I do know it will change. Yes.
Something like the white matter in the right frontal insula gets thicker. So after 3 weeks, a meditative state becomes a meditative trait. You actually have a place where the muscle gets thicker. You know, so then you get thicker, you know, nerve tracks.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad she was here. Thank you.
That's
because
John Kabat-Zinn's course.
Okay, states and traits are written in that Joy of Living book that Menya Rinpoche wrote. States and traits, these are the way we just have to learn to be different, and it will be different. So you make a groove for Aaron. What's the habit you have? We were going over some other habits.
Nail biting and compulsive cigarette smoking. Well, I quit smoking.
Okay.
Nail biting.
Okay, nail biting. So you have a groove in your brain that says the nail biting groove. It's literally a groove because you have a habit for it. And if you were to stop it, it does, it fills in. So silly putty, you've played with that, right? I'm not aging myself. You know what it does. If you put a ball of silly putty on the table, what does it do? But if you just lay it down. Yeah, just flattens. And it becomes flat. So Super Ball stays its shape, but silly putty will mold. So if I had it in my hand, it would fill in that groove, right? So that is what it's literally doing. It's not like we're just saying the idea of that is like that. It is literally filling in the parts of the brain. And then you create a habit for a happier, peaceful mind, and a groove begins to create. So now you can become happier because you're happier, because you've been happier, because you've learned to be happier. It just gets better and better and better. And I'd say it with such impact because sometimes it just sounds like a metaphor, doesn't it? But it's not. It's like literally happening. I think that. So that's very exciting. And then, why do we go back to the posture? We don't need to do that. So mindfulness and concentration, they seem like these catchwords we see all the time. And Aaron and I were talking about the difference. So mindfulness is what you need to be able to concentrate. So you hear a lot about mindfulness meditation. It's to be able to focus on something. But you can't concentrate until you actually have some skills at just being able to focus. So you kind of take that and you put it into concentration. And then here's something that's like a higher level, but I'm going to say it on the first night, and then we'll just keep repeating it, as we talked about, because I think it's really exciting. In Tibetan Buddhism, we have a lot of different ways. We don't generally just sit while we're focusing on a text or something. So it's a more heady tradition. And if you wanted to do an analysis meditation on some text or, say, a poem, or always look on the bright side of life, my favorite quote, if you were to focus on that, what would you need to be able to focus on it? Like, what is the word, what's the word I'm looking for that allows you to be able to stay on topic?
Concentration.
And what do you need to be able to concentrate? Right. So we're building that up. Very good. So if you have some level of concentration, which is in the Tibetan tradition, there's 9 levels of just being able to focus. Like, one is being able to count to 21 with no thought, no mashed potatoes happening at all. So as you see, we're like struggling to get to 2, right? So to get to 21, that's the first stage, and they each have a definition, 9 stages of meditation. If you were at 4 or 5, as some of the teachers that we have come through here have been, I have no clue what that would be like, you would be able to take that ability and place it where you want it. So now let's say you can concentrate for 20 minutes without wavering, because, right? Can anybody imagine that? Maybe Miles can. 20 minutes, like no wavering at all. That's not something I can comprehend. If you could, do you see how amazing it would be if you could 20 minutes of no thought going anywhere? So now you ask your mind, think about this. And if you kind of have a heart movement of something that's like, oh, then you say, I'm going to bring in this concentration ability and I'm going to put it there. That's when you start to get somewhere. That's what this is all about. It's not supposed to say it on the first night, but I'm just breaking the rules. Just letting you know, that's the secret. Okay? See, you want to come back because it'll give you more to want to come back for, right? And concentration is the key. But we can't concentrate till we just begin. So you never want to say, I can't do this, because that's not going to help you. You just have to get the brain to change. All right. Let's do another meditation. Tonight's at like 3. This is called bare attention. Not the bare necessities, but the bare attention. Yeah.
How do you concentrate so well when, I mean, I'm struggling just
Oh, make yourself comfortable. Make yourself comfortable, darling. Yeah. But chill a little bit. Yeah. Uncross your feet and put it. Okay, you're good. But you, so the first time I ever meditated, I was at a yoga class. It was 1986, and the teachers, we used to just lay on the floor for Shavasana, and she said, we're going to try sitting. And I was like, and it wasn't trendy back then. Does that, so some of you might not have been born yet, you know, I know Lily wasn't, but it wasn't like a trendy thing that people meditate. It was a really weird thing. And I was like, okay, this Lutheran girl's going to meditate. Feels wrong. And so I sat up, and she told us how to sit, and it was like, it hurt so bad. But I just persevered, you know, but not like, but just like, oh, that feels uncomfortable. So all I was thinking about, as you're saying, is just like, my back hurts, my back hurts, my back hurts, my back hurts. That's not the meditation. So it becomes one. It's just the other one than mashed potatoes. And so what I learned is just like, it was just so brief, but it was kind of cool. Like, you're just simply starting. It just, like, it doesn't really matter. I'm not saying, you know, sit in a concrete cell and hurt, right? We're not doing that. But you would just learn that it will become more comfortable. The body will settle. It will relax. But I totally know what you mean. The second time we did it, we were in a gym, and the basketball court went, ah! You know that kind of sound in a basketball game?
Yeah.
And then she just giggled and went, any sound you hear, bring into the meditation. Like, it's not like you hear a... Shocking. So you're going to be working with everything. You're going to hear somebody making coffee, and that becomes a coffee meditation. You hear dogs barking and the lawnmower going off, and you're breathing. And so it's all part of it. So you just bring it all in, and you let it all be part of your meditation. Does that kind of help? Yeah. It's all just part of it. Yeah. Yeah. You mean like if the back starts to hurt?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's really hurting, just lean back. Yeah. Be relaxed. Yeah. Be comfortable.
You're going to get stronger over time, no matter what, as long as you do it.
Yep.
You're not
it will. You're building muscle. And I know this is weird, but I was at a retreat, their long retreats that we have. And there was a woman in front of me who is, she used to be a nun, so it was like 30 years of practice, something, you know, and she never moved an inch. She never moved a millimeter. And, you know, I was like, okay, do this now. And being like, I had to move around all the time and wiggle. And I finally said, how do you keep so still? And she just went, it just settles. Like, it just settles. You know, she was like blissed out. And so she didn't need to explain anymore, because she just, it's gonna change and morph. And I went, all right. But I had been meditating and going to a lot of teachings for a long time, and taught yoga a long time. And during that retreat, I was sitting there and I realized I could sit here forever. Of course, couldn't, but I felt like, it is not going to happen tonight. It's going to take a while. But if you feel like you've got patience for it, it will just completely change. Every time you do it, it'll get better and better and better. The muscles will get stronger, and you can, you know, you start to lift up in the chest. You have to let this relax back here. Do a little stretching and yoga at home. Get yourself relaxed. So try it, and then, you know, lean back a little bit, and then come back up, lean back a little bit. Give me 3 minutes to go. I'm always running late on these classes. Okay, hurry up and relax. All right, so let's just kind of get yourself into your existing place. Sometimes it's interesting to think, I will begin this meditation like I've ended my last one and just slip right back into that quiet space. Is that your motivation? That you're doing this to benefit yourself and all beings? So again, jumping right in, but begin the attention on the nostrils. Pay attention to the very subtle sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. You can feel the certain sensation as the air passes and the hairs move. cooler and warmer sensations. And now, think of yourself as a gatekeeper, as we spoke, just watching the breath flow pass as it enters and exits the body, keenly observing everything that arises in this area of focus. If you even want to note the words in your mind's eye, in, out, you can do that. In this meditation, the breath is our anchor for the attention, for our attention. If things scatter or move around, just place the emphasis back on the meditation of the breath. This is the element of concentration. So if your mind is thinking of things, which it will do, you might try the noting type of meditation, saying thinking, sensation, potatoes. Give it one word and let it go. Do not judge anything. Very gently disengage from the thought or the distraction, even my voice, and return your attention to the breath. And then when you feel you have this level of concentration and focus, now we're going to loosen the concentration slightly and place more emphasis on the mindfulness in the meditation. Now allow your mind to be attentive and observant of whatever comes, regardless what it is. You're not identifying with it, you're watching it like a tourist. Just be aware. As you gain mastery over this kind of meditation, each time the mind wanders from the breath, note specifically how and where it has wandered. Is it going to the past? To the present? Is it planning? What kind of thoughts tend to attract the mind's attention? What does this indicate about the delusions that play a role in your life? You can use this type of mindfulness while you're working to be concentrated on the work and not letting the thoughts and the delusions take over. Meditation is not an isolated activity. It can become an integral part of our lives, helping us focus on doing what we were doing while we were doing it. This will help us be more kind and loving, and focus on the people in front of us, our children, our task, simply learning to concentrate. And as we end this meditation, we again dedicate all this energy to becoming a better person, more peaceful person, who can then bring all this peace and well-being to others every moment of every day. Who liked that one? Did you like that one? Did that help? Did you focus less on your body? Good, good. What did you like about it? Oh, good. Good. I think that's really, it's really fun to go kind of morphing and move through. Okay?
Oh, I was gone. 100%.
Gone. Now he's back. So it's 8:34. If you need to leave, leave. But I wanted to just do something fun. Somebody go to the bathroom and look at the sign on the door and take a picture and come back in. Who will do that for me on their phone? Run to this. Are you leaving or are you taking a picture? Oh, you're leaving. Okay. Thank you, Carol. Who's got a camera?
I got you.
Okay. Go, dude. Run, run. Is that good?
Oh, I bet not yourself.
Oh.
It's not ever happened.
Huh?
I mean, like, really, but now that he came to see me.
Came to see you. Cool.
It's always there. It's just, it
right.
Doesn't show up in person.
Doesn't show up in person.
I was like, whoa, dude. Went away really fast, but I'm like, wait,
come back.
I want to talk to you.
Okay, is he going to come? He's going to read us something interesting. Who's seen the sign in the bathroom already? Okay. Oh, in the bathroom. On the back of the door. Sorry, I should have given him a little bit more information. Go to the bathroom. Wait.
Use the bathroom. Shut the door.
Shut the door. Wash your hands. Come back. Use some lotion. Okay, here he is.
Take pictures of the men and women inside. I'm like, that can't be right.
No, you have to read it.
Oh, I have to read it.
Yeah.
When we go against habitual tendencies of anger, attachment, and ignorance, that is meditation, and you can do that whilst on the toilet. Don't be so holy about it.
And who said it?
Vulnerable Robina.
Venerable Robina, the feisty nun. While sitting on the toilet, you can meditate anywhere in your life. You can take all these skills and abilities and use them in your life. So, thank you. That was fun. Dedicating all this effort so that you may have a peaceful week and a warmer week. Our minds will be happier because we will be warmer. And I will see you next Tuesday. Thank you.